We praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be. Thou living us we filled with thee, thou in the Son expressed might be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
If we are to be found in Christ, we must fulfill the condition of not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but a righteousness which is not our own, that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God based on faith. Bob Danker, glad you're here with us today to help us with a marvelous program.
Well, Chris, this is a very mysterious matter and a very deep matter here in the book of Philippians. And I'm glad we have this opportunity to fellowship about it so that we can help our listeners to be very clear about what it means to be found in Christ.
Yeah. Bob, I don't know if all of our listeners realize that these life study programs we produce each day are just short excerpts of Witness Lee's original speaking. In this particular program, for instance, Witness Lee spoke about an hour, maybe an hour and a half, yet our listeners will only get to hear 9 or 10 minutes of his speaking. So the printed messages always cover the topics in a more thorough and detailed way than we're able to do in the 26 minutes that we have for our time together. I think it's important for us to understand this, particularly on this program, because there are many illustrations that our listeners will not get the benefit of, Bob, unless they order this printed life study message. Bob, say something about the context of this verse, Philippians 3:9, that we read at the opening.
Well, Philippians 3:9, of course, comes after the first 8 verses of this chapter. And in those verses, in the beginning of chapter 3 of Philippians, Paul told us that before he was saved or before he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was a Pharisee in the Jewish religion, a person who loved the law and considered the law of Moses to be the highest thing in the universe.
Right.
Paul just was captured by the law of God in the Old Testament, and all his being was focused on this law, and his aspiration was to live a life that matched the requirements of this law. So Paul was altogether occupied with the law in the Old Testament, and with his endeavor, through his own efforts, of course, to live an excellent life according to the law. But then, one day, Paul met the Lord, or the Lord met him, on the road to Damascus. And at that time, Paul began to know Christ through revelation, through God's revelation. So through God's revelation, Paul obtained the knowledge of Christ. That's the knowledge of a living person, not the knowledge of religion or of morality or of ethics or even of the law of Moses, but the knowledge of Christ. And in verse 8 of this chapter, Paul said that this knowledge of Christ is excellent,
right,
and it has excellency. So because of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Paul was revolutionized, and he became a person who considered everything other than Christ to be rubbish or trash.
Right.
And then his whole aspiration changed. From that point on, he aspired to gain Christ. He wanted to gain Christ. And he also aspired to be found in Christ. And that brings us up to verse 9 in Philippians chapter 3. This is where we are in our broadcast today.
Bob, I like the contrast there. As you pointed out before, he was fully occupied, or you could say with the excellency that he saw attached to the knowledge of Judaism or the law. But the contrast is not with the knowledge of another better religion. The contrast is with the knowledge of a person. That's a tremendous difference, isn't it?
Tremendous difference.
Bob, let's join Witness Lee for the first portion, then you and I will have a chance to have some more fellowship.
To be really found in Christ, there is a condition. The condition is to have the righteousness of God, which is through faith of Christ. It is under this condition that we could be really found in Christ. Now, the key point of the condition is the righteousness of God. Righteousness, in such a verse, signifies a kind of a daily living, which is right with God, and which is also right with man. Paul, in the same chapter, he says, as to the law, I am righteous. Before he was transferred into Christ, he says what? As to the law of Pharisees, as to the righteousness which is in the law, I become blameless. By that time, he had a kind of daily living in his eyes, which is right with man and God, actually not. So righteousness here signifies a kind of a living which is right both with God and man. And this righteousness, this kind of living, must be of God. This means this kind of a living, which is right with both God and man, is just God himself lived out of us. Just God himself being our expression. What is my own righteousness? That is the expression of me. The righteousness of me is just me lived out. The righteousness of God is just God lived out of you. God becomes your daily living. So whatever you would be, that is just an expression of God. To be found in Christ, it must be in this kind of condition that God is expressed. Under a condition that God becomes your daily living.
Bob, that was very clear speaking. God needs to become righteousness in our daily living. Again, this matter of being found in Christ is crucial because when we are not in Christ, say in our married life, for example, we are not right with our spouse. We're not right with God. Bob, can you give us an example here?
Well, Chris, as Witness Lee said, the kind of living that makes us right with God and man is just God himself lived out of us. This, to me, is a wonderful concept.
Right.
Our own righteousness is just the expression of our self,
right.
Our self lived out. But God's righteousness is the expression of God. It's God lived out of us. And this is the real righteousness. In the eyes of Paul, he was blameless when he compared himself with the law of Moses. But actually, he was not so right with God and not so right with man because he persecuted the church. And this would be our situation to some extent if we try to live out our self and our self-made righteousness. When we live with our spouse, for instance, we try to love our wife and to treat our wife in a proper way. As long as it comes out of our self, there will always be something about it that is not right, that doesn't satisfy either God or our spouse. And this, I think, is perhaps the reason why many marriages are not so happy, because people are living out themselves, even with good intention, you know, to live a life, a husband loving their wives, wives submitting to their husbands. But what is the result of such a living? Is it the real righteousness? Does it produce a situation in which God is satisfied and we are satisfied? The husband and the wife are satisfied? I don't think so. There's something missing here. And what is missing is just God himself, living himself out of us.
I jotted down a phrase here that he spoke, Bob, on this point. You alluded to it. The righteousness of me is just me lived out. The righteousness of God is just God lived out. That's, I think, what you're getting at, isn't it?
It is, Chris. And that righteousness, which is God lived out, is the genuine and true righteousness. And that righteousness is so pleasant to both God and man.
Bob, let's go back to Witness Lee. We're going to see this time how we can be right with God and man through faith in Christ.
How could this righteousness of God be our daily living? You see what? Through the faith of Christ. So we come back to the faith again. We couldn't have this faith until we have the hearing of the Word, and that the Word does something to infuse Christ, which is the very element, reality of the Word, into you. And at the same time, the Spirit functions. You have the faith. And this faith brings you an organic union between you and God. It is through this faith, which is the issue of the Word, the function of the Spirit, which is also just Christ Himself. Through this linking faith, a kind of organic union has been brought in between you and God. It is through this faith that you and God are organically united. It is through this kind of organic union that you and God are one Spirit. You live, God lives in you. God lives, you live in Him. Just to live such an abiding life, such an organic union that unites you and God as one. This is the righteousness of God. And this righteousness of God surely is not of the law. It's impossible. It is of the faith. It is of this organic linking of the faith, which is absolutely Christ Himself as the Word and as the Spirit. It is through this that we live out God. It is also through this God lives out of us. This becomes the New Testament righteousness. When we are in this righteousness, we are in the right condition for us to be found in Christ.
Bob, that was an utterance that I think we would have to listen to many times, and each time we would get a deeper appreciation of what we just heard. I've heard it several times now. I'm just overwhelmed. That's tremendous.
That's right. It is tremendous, Chris.
Faith is a topic, Bob, that people ponder, they talk about, they try to comprehend what it is, how to get it, so many things. But I love the phrase he used here, or the phrase is really like the organic linking, an organic linking that brings us into an organic union. Bob, I'm going to ask you to develop this tremendous thought to us, because it's such a magnificent realization of what faith really is.
Yes, Chris, the New Testament reveals to us that the genuine faith does not originate with us. We do not have faith in ourselves. As Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. When we hear the proper announcing and proclaiming of the word of God, this word, which carries with it the very Christ Himself as the reality or the element or the essence of the Word, imparts Christ into us. And Christ, who is imparted into us through the Word, actually produces within us a response to the Word that we are hearing, and that response is our faith, our believing in the Lord according to the Word. Faith comes to us through the hearing of God's Word and the functioning in us of the life-giving Spirit. This is a tremendous thing. Faith is Christ Himself, who is imparted into us through our hearing of the Word of God. So when we have this genuine faith, which is just a living person of Christ, then this faith links us to God in an organic union. So it produces in our spirit a union between us and the triune God who dwells in our spirit. So in this organic union, we are one with God and God is one with us. And we can live out God and God can live in us. When we are in the organic union with God through the faith which is Christ Himself, then this is the kind of living we have in which we live God out in our daily life, the common things in our daily life, our relationship with our spouse you were speaking about earlier. This produces a condition of righteousness, the genuine righteousness of the New Testament, which is just God Himself lived out through us.
This kind of a union, an organic linking, this could never be brought about by our adherence just to the law. If our relationship to God is purely one of behaving in a way that we think is pleasing to Him, we'll never experience this organic union, will we?
No, Chris, there's no way for us to experience this union except through the genuine New Testament faith, which comes to us through the hearing of God's Word.
Let's go back, Bob, to Witness Lee for the conclusion today.
You have to understand this verse with the whole book of Philippians. In the whole book of the Philippians, in chapter 1, Paul says, the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Then, in chapter 2, holding forth the word of life. The word of life is just life. So, in this book, you have these two things, the Spirit of Jesus as the supply and the Word of life as the means. Now, you must put these three chapters together. 1, 2, 3. You have the supply of the Spirit. Amen. And you have the Word of the life. Amen. And you have the righteousness through the faith.
Amen.
When you have these three as one, you are absolutely under the infusion of God. This infused God into you will just live out to be your daily life, which is called the righteousness of God. This is not just the gaining of Christ, but the experiencing of Christ and the enjoyment of Christ. This is to be found in Christ under a condition that I am enjoying the infusion of God.
Amen.
To live Him out through the supply of the Spirit, the Word of life, and the righteousness through faith. This was the real concept of Paul when he composed this book. He lived God out as his daily living. And this is the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Paul says, I expect, desire to be found in Christ under these conditions. I not only desire to gain Him, but to be found in Him in such a condition that people can see there is a man living God out. And this man is just a man in Christ. He's not in the culture. He's not in the religion. He's not in any kind of philosophy, any kind of ethics, morality. He is a man absolutely in Christ, living out God as his daily life. Hallelujah.
Bob, it was tremendous how he just brought us back to Paul's real thought in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Paul wanted to live Christ out through the bountiful supply of the Spirit in his daily life. And in such a condition, he wanted to be found in Christ. Not in the ethics, not in culture, not in religion, philosophy, or anything else, Bob, give us your final thoughts.
Well, Chris, I agree with you. This word was really marvelous. And the way Witness Lee related the first three chapters of Philippians also was marvelous. Here we have three things. We have the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, which is seen in chapter 1. Then we have the Word of Life in chapter 2. The bountiful supply is just the Spirit Himself dispensed into us to be our supply, and the Word of Life is the means for us to receive this Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And this Word of Life also brings to us this marvelous linking faith that produces an organic union between us and God, and that brings us into a condition in which God is lived out of us and becomes our righteousness. This is so, in a sense, deep, mysterious, but we can experience this. We need to experience this. This is the real, genuine Christian experience. The Christian life has nothing to do with our trying to produce righteousness by living out ourselves,
right?
By living a moral life, an ethical life, a religious life, a cultured life, or any other kind of life. The Christian life is just this kind of life that's described right here. Every day are enjoying the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ through the Word of Life, and then being brought into this linking faith, where we have an organic union with God, and then He lives out of us spontaneously. This is the Christian life. This is the kind of living that God is happy with and that we're happy with. And in this condition, then we are found in Christ. We are not in religion, not in culture, not in morality, not in ethics. We are in Christ. And that's exactly where God wants us to be.
Bob, I want to close today by just drawing emphasis to one thing you said here. This is profound. You're right. Absolutely. But this is not something that is reserved for a special class of Christians. As you and I prayed before we began recording today, something came out, and that is that God would raise up an appetite for this kind of experience in all His people. This is the portion that is our inheritance upon our regeneration, our new birth. This is what all the believers in Christ can and should be experiencing.
That's right, Chris. I really agree with you. I pray that the Lord will produce in so many of His children an aspiration like Paul had. Paul was not a super saint. He was a pattern or an example for us all.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed our time together very much today.
And I enjoyed it very much too, Chris.
For Bob Danker today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.